session, I believe Mr. Alkash and Peter Rafelson. I think Peter just went to the bathroom. Is Alkash in here?
I think he was the gentleman sitting right here.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll get this panel started without him since you're not here. All right, well, we'll go right down the line. We'll start with you, Chris. What did you hear in the keynotes presented by the other speakers that resonates the most with your vision for what will be the single largest next opportunity for the advancement of mobile cloud computing or big mobile data or a combination of both?
In my opinion, I think the cloud's use case for positioning data closer to the end user is probably going to be the biggest shift. We see that in media and entertainment. We see that in all sorts of providers. So security is number one. So we're going to see encryption everywhere, I believe, and for data in flight, and then being decrypted as it hits the mobile device. But I also see data placement closer to the end user, the last mile, if you will. So the cloud use being not in my data center, but put data everywhere in the cloud, so anybody has access to it everywhere.
Lori?
Actually, the thing that I found very interesting was your take on Apple. I didn't think of them as being behind on cloud, but the way that you put it makes a lot of sense to me. And it's interesting that the analysis that you did, you're looking at companies like Amazon, which is selling products to replace going into shopping, and built up this huge asset in the meantime. And the same thing with Salesforce, which is about having contact management and build up a huge asset. I think that OEMs that are interested in being a part of this game have a lot to learn from other companies in the ecosystem whose businesses may have started out in one area but then grew to other areas because companies have a strong vision of where they could go. And basically everyone that was on your list was providing some kind of platform, and the device is just the device. It could be any device. So it's a threat to the manufacturers that are trying to do more than just be a platform for someone else to make revenue.
Russ?
Well, Lori, I guess I'm going to return the favor. when I heard your Virtu story, and I looked at almost every aspect of the value that you deliver in the marketplace, it did reinforce the message that I was trying to get across, and that is that it is a mobile plus cloud environment, and the mobile device manufacturers that are going to have traction and have wheels and keep communities and sell more of their devices are going to have to provide more and more services, and the success of your business and 80 some OEM customers really makes that message very clearly, and the richness of the over-the-air services that you were talking about, all of those speak to the fact that the device manufacturers have to be major players in delivering integrated experiences on devices, and that back-end cloud platform is the thing that's kind of the brain of all of that. And so that was the eye opener for me, and I did think it was kind of very synergistic with my take on things. So
yeah, cool. And notice how we didn't speak about the operators, the companies that are providing the connectivity. I mean, they fear becoming just a bit pipe, and no one here really talked about them and the value add that they can provide ultimately to the end user, which is interesting.
Well, I did have a little place for them. I think that the model that Savvis has in financial services is the future. So I think Savvis is an example of a company that can be a major operator of vertical financial cloud exchanges, and they've kind of moved in that direction. And the healthcare exchanges would be another example. So I think that the Verizons of the world, the Savvises of the world, but they have to get out of the mode of which they've had a hard time doing. Everybody's been telling them for 20 years, yeah. Get out of the mode of selling pipes. and you got to start being a solution company. And it's like, I don't know, telling a bear that they got to start being a fox or something. It's just hard to do, right? You know, it's not, it's easy to say, it's a lot harder to do it.
And Peter Rafelson is just joining us.
Thanks, sorry guys.
No problem.
I think I know what the question is, but I better be sure.
Ahead. I'll go ahead and fire off a new one. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Rafelson Media and how it applies to the topic we're talking about, future cloud data and
So Rafelson Media really is a company that came from three generations of creators, creatives. My great uncle wrote The Jazz Singer, first film with sound. My father, famous director, created The Monkees and Easy Rider and a bunch of stuff with Jack Nicholson. And I grew up in the sort of independent pioneering of film business. And then I went on to become a songwriter and created, 5,000 copyrights and titles and masters, all of which had intrinsic rights. And careful what you wish for. I stayed independent, and then I had the prospect of managing all of these rights. So, yes, I'm a publisher, a record company, distributor, aggregator, all of those things. But most of all, in the last 4 years, I developed a platform, PaaS service called DigiRamp, which is Digital Rights and Asset Management Platform. And the challenge was to deal with infrastructure, platform, and service, but also agnostic and across all platforms. And Apple, and one of the issues that you guys have been talking about, has been the most restrictive in terms of development, in terms of application, in terms of browser support. And when you talk about transcoding and media and all of the codecs that are supported and not supported by different languages and browsers, you'd be amazed how few options we're left with. That's to me the biggest challenge, which is now we're especially with Apple, we're forced into providing transcoding down to basically one option for playback and for media. And not only QuickTime, not only MP4, but specifically H.264. Literally none of the browsers are supporting much else. And of course, what are our options? Well, if you want to develop an app for every device, now you're dealing with the regulations and the bottleneck and the control of the App Store itself. It's tough. I think just generally, you know, I don't want to pontificate too much, but the idea of having the most open-ended architecture and open stack and being able to create interfaces that access the cloud services through the most lowest common denominator is certainly what I'm trying to find, and it's not easy.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Our next question, and I guess we'll start with Lori for this one. What did you hear in the keynotes of the other speakers or the answers we just heard from other panelists about the next big opportunity with which you most disagree and why? Which opportunity may or may not be viable?
Maybe it's my cynicism over the government lately, but that the U.S. can become a leader in the cloud. Sorry. I know you worked so hard on that panel, and I was very interested to hear about the commission, and of course it's very good work, but I wish you guys were still meeting. And, you know, I'm sure that there was a period of time for a commitment to do it, but there's a lot of, I mean, there's interoperability issues and a lack of standards and even a lack of education. And I think if the U.S. is really going to become a leader, it needs to be quite active in keeping that commission and maybe broadening the commission. Those are my thoughts.
Thanks, Lori. Russ?
Total agreement with that comment, by the way.
Okay.
We'll go to Russ.
Are we talking just the presentations this morning or across the whole event?
Specifically related to mobile and big data.
Okay. Well, I guess I question whether a company like Red Hat can pull it off, especially supporting the mobile app development marketplace. We love Red Hat. We do a lot of business with Red Hat. I just question whether they have the resources and the medium and longer term commitment and the know-how to go out and approach the mobile marketplace and connect with companies like yours continuously and get it done. That's why I put them on my second slide, not my first slide. It's an important investment, but you know, just being again completely honest, I'm very critical about where Apple's at. They're not in immediate danger, but I think they're in mortal danger in the medium and the long term.
I agree.
But they're not in immediate danger. But you know, OpenShift and Red Hat, that's a thing. If it doesn't get wheels in a year or two, it won't make sense for Red Hat to do it anymore. And so I just don't know that they have the wherewithal to pull that one off.
Thanks, Russ. Peter?
You know, it's funny. I've been an Apple supporter. I was part of the Apple Genius Program, or it wasn't called that back in the 80s, but for taking control and looking behind or under the hood, early days it was great. The more closed they become, I'm seriously considering what this Chrome system is going to enable both mobile and portability users to do. I don't know where Apple is going to wind up going. They're kind of resting on their laurels in the market share for mobile devices, but they're also closing out a lot of developers and really open startups. As far as opportunities that are being, what did you say? It was opportunities that are.
Out of everything that we've heard so far this morning, what do you think is not viable, or that you might disagree with?
Well, first of all, making changes to the government, I think, is certainly going to be.
Not everybody has to gang up on Chris.
No. I mean, I'm all for it. I was at the, I don't know if any of you were at the town hall meeting on Sunday, but this same question came up, and one of the similar questions I answered, my answer was, who can police the police? Who we can make accountability only up to a certain level. And then when you're talking about accountability for really what is a secret society, it's tough to know that even what we try to put forward can be enforced or regulated in any way. And that shouldn't ever stop us from trying. You know, that's what this country's about. But there really is a separation and a veil or a cloak. There's not a lot of transparency, and you know, one could argue that's for our safety, but it certainly costs us our liberty. So that's something, an opportunity that I'm struggling to. I don't think there's any simple answer.
I bet you're happy I saved you for last on this one.
Yeah, I'll pick on myself because I actually believe that the administration lost focus, and I believe, like you said, Lord, there's opportunity to actually reconvene the commission.
Yeah.
With I think and focus more on the legal aspects and the security aspects alone. One of the things that Pete I think brought up was the lack of standards in being able to do cross-platform development, so that if you do it on one platform that you can use it on any platform. Therefore, I think anything that stifles innovation and tries to use legal aspects to stifle innovation, Aereo being one of those vendors now that's under attack, and that's just because a lot of people want to hold on to the good things that they've had, right? So what's happened to the music industry is now happening to the TV industry, where you have innovators driving change, and it's scaring the hell out of everybody. But I think that if you don't embrace change and try to leverage that as an opportunity, then perhaps you're not going to be in the winning space. So in picking on myself, I think that from a regulatory standards body perspective, the government, the standards organizations, the legal community, and Congress needs to get together to assure that we have interoperability and trust within the U.S. cloud infrastructure. Otherwise, we're not going to be a leader. So I agree with that.
Thanks, Chris. And our last question, we'll start with Russ on this one. From the consumer perspective, how will continuing progress in mobile cloud computing and big data solutions impact behavior, and what do you think will be the greatest change in usage patterns?
Well, I guess the first thing is I'm trying to imagine greater impact. I have a 19-year-old son, of course, and you know, I found it very interesting, the discussions that were held yesterday about the amount of time and the amount of activity that teenagers, amount of time and the types of activities that they do online, in the cloud, using social networks, using social media. And I think the impact is negative in the short term on their basic human social skills. So it's the idea of connecting with other people in a face-to-face fashion versus virtually connecting with everybody most of the time. And there still is an important dimension to looking somebody in the eye and having a conversation with them. And I do think that in the short term, the obsession with devices and using social services in the cloud deprecates that ability. So that's a concern I have in the short term. However, on the upside of that, I see all that collaboration that they can do and some of the tools that are in their hands, and they can be far more creative. And you know, they can be a YouTube sensation by being creative in a matter of moments or hours, right? And so that's exciting. That sort of empowers creativity. And so I have a fear about it, and I have an optimistic view of it. I think mobile devices and the cloud are the major dominant consumer use mode for the foreseeable future. All of us are going to do more and more things. I'm excited about what it means for the handicapped. Very excited to read about Google Glass applications for handicapped people who already have them and are doing things that they never dreamed they were going to be able to do in their lives. Had some interesting discussions about this myself on social networks. There are things like that like make my heart feel better and my soul feel better. So that, you know, that's my attempt to answer a question. Not an easy question, but that's my shot at it.
Great answer. Peter?
Again, please repeat the question.
All right, third question. From the consumer perspective, how will continuing progress in mobile cloud computing and big data solutions impact behavior? And what do you think the biggest change in current patterns will be?
You know, the word transparency comes to mind. And I don't know if people are aware, but there's been recent cases where even Samsung and Jay-Z released a music app, which every kid downloaded, not being aware that every call they made was being tracked and reported back. And Samsung denied knowing this, and so did the engineer that created the app. And then it turns out that no one was accountable for it. There's a tremendous amount of isolation that mobile users create. You know, they literally don't know what it's like to be in the presence of a real conversation. Also, everything is shortened, and the process of collaboration is not in real time. Actually, you know, it's all delayed by input. I think that does change the way people react. You're almost removing that interaction from the process. Hopefully makes people think a little bit more before they hit send, but there is no unsend or I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. There's no apology for something that could be interpreted. Everything is left up to interpretation. Everything is by the receiver of any information. I find that doesn't necessarily always work. And I've always said computers don't make things go faster. They just give you more choices. And ironically, on a phone, there's a little less choice than we used to have using computers. There's only a few ways to communicate, and you're limited by that framework. What is that? What is the iOS framework? Does anybody really know? You know what's behind an app, the GUI. That's what I mean by transparency. Terms of service and use are 99%, maybe higher, not read. People don't know what rights or agreement they're making by just using something that they feel is theirs. In fact, none of it is theirs. None of it is theirs. So the sense of just ownership, who owns your data, where is your data, transparency in things that seem so innocent, I think that there's a real lack of understanding by most users, certainly by me.
Thanks, Peter. Chris?
Yeah, I want to look at this from a cultural standpoint, because if anybody's been on a Avis bus or something like that coming from the airport, everybody hides behind their phones. If you're in an elevator, everybody's always looking at their phones. There's no interaction from a human perspective anymore. As, I don't know if anybody works and uses Skype for work, but I think that's too much of a leash, pretty much. So I think technology is awesome in some respects, but it also can be a handicap in others. And I think it's affecting our culture quite a bit in the way we interact with people, in the way our kids are, because this generation is actually one of the first generations where it's so ubiquitous that, you know, everybody wants to be famous on YouTube. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not sure, right? I know I don't use Skype for work. I turn it off because it's too much for Elise. I will not tweet. Because there's just too much information on Twitter, although Twitter, I think, is going to become, pretty much a standard in how people communicate because email is too hard now, right? You want to do it immediately. But on the positive side, though, there was a study that was done in Africa where there was an outbreak of malaria and everybody left this one lake and moved to a different town. And they were actually able to track, based on the GPS of everybody's mobile phone, that everybody moved from the town that had the issue to another town. So they shipped the medicine to the other town, and we were able to help save lives that way too. So, technology is great when it's used for the right reasons, but if we just we need to take a look at the psychological and social impact of this before we move forward, because change is good for, just to do change for change's sakes and embrace technology, I think, may have a negative impact.
Thanks, Chris. And Laura?
Okay, I'll try to end on a positive glass half full.
That was a Unabomber type thing.
You're taking an elastic view of the question.
Yeah. Actually, I really am quite optimistic about the future of mobile. And one of the things that I'm really excited about is the transformation of our car. And some people say, that your car is becoming just a smartphone on wheels. And mm-hmm. David Strickland, who's actually is a friend of mine from a long time ago, who's head of the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, he basically said, the car is a car. It's not a smartphone on wheels, and it's a very lethal machine if it's used incorrectly. But I see, from where I sit, there's been a convergence between mobile and automotive industries, and I'm really excited about the experience that's coming into our cars. And a lot of the mobile services that we use on our smartphones and our tablets are becoming available in our cars. And yeah, it could have a really negative effect on behavior, and we see a lot of legislation around no texting while driving and requiring hands-free. But if the industry, if the automotive industry can make sure that it maintains those kinds of safety standards, there's huge advancements that will come with that center screen that's appearing in just about every car that's being shipped, at least in developed markets and even now soon in emerging countries, that can really give us a richer experience in our lives. Efficiency, not just entertainment during that awful commute in Boston where I live, but make our lives richer. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, don't some programs, they send the actual car diagnostics updated back and forth?
That's
to
right.
The server.
Yeah, I mentioned that your car's firmware is being updated over the air. It's happening in about a half a dozen by about a half a dozen car manufacturers around the world.
Well, let's have one last round of applause for all our panelists. We went a little bit over time, but. I think we're finished in this room. The next panel is going to be back over in the main room starting at 10:45. Thank you guys for joining us.
I got you. Okay.